seeing as we this is a bullshitting show. Wait a minute, have we got to the end of the scripted content?
From the looks of it, I think we just have plugs left.
Pretty much.
So yeah. I was going to throw in a get in on the action with Lantern Jaw and Drunken Master and ask you, have you been following the Tony Jaa stuff with Ong Bak 2, all the trauma, and what do you make of it?
I haven't, so can you quickly sum it up?
Okay, well, Tony has obviously been filming Ong Bak 2, which was slated, he's been in the Thai jungle for yonks, and it had been to Cannes to be sold and stuff, with a promo footage, and it got December the 5th release date, which had been pushed back quite a few times, from what I heard. Well, I don't think they announced official release date, but there was rumours, and then they kept going further and further back. But it turned out in a news story that broke a few weeks ago, where it might have been, yeah, just about last month in July, I think, that Tony had actually disappeared for 2 months, had left the set and not come back, and there was all kinds of wild rumours going around. But I think it turns out he'd gone back kind of into the jungle, back to the village, and away from the film, not told anyone, and kind of just hid out. Because what it seems has transpired is that the film has gone horribly over budget, and there's been infighting between the people at Saha Mongkol and Tony's representatives, and he hasn't been able to take the pressure, and has scarped, and legged it. Mm-hmm. There was rumours going around in the Thai press that he was into black magic, and that's why he'd gone away to do some kind of black magic stuff, or he was off just meditating, or there was rumours going around that Tony and some of his people had stolen some of the production money and ran off with it. And so then there's an appeal by the head of Saha Mongkol, a kind of tearful one, saying that he loves Tony like a son and he just wants the film to be finished and all this kind of stuff. So then Tony appears on a TV chat show and kind of breaks down, starts crying, apologising, saying that he never took any money, and the guy from Saha Mongkol backs him up, says there wasn't any stolen money, and he just needed to, you know, get away from things, but he wants to come back and work for them if he can. Okay, so all this happens. Then Tony and his lawyer send a list of 7 demands to the people at Saha Mongkol of what they need to happen before he will come back onto the project. Hang on a sec, because I'm just going to get up the 7 demands, because these are definitely worth reading out. So, have you been following it, Stu?
On and off. I knew, like, was there not, like, a meeting with him, and they had, like, a police... There was something, like, was there not, like, a meeting at a police station, or there had to be a witness to sign in an agreement?
Yeah. Well, what happened was, is that after Tony had sent these 7 demands, which were, 1... he wants an extra 55 million baht to finish the last 20% of the film, which didn't include the cost of the film, actor hire, studio hire, or theatre run. Then, Tony wanted the right to choose his own production crew, which would include Panna. Then, 3, Jaa's personal manager would have the right to oversee the accounts for the whole production. Then, 4, he will have the film finished by November 30th. 5, he wants the details of the actor's fees and the director's fee. And then Tony would like a 50 million baht share of the profits from distribution and ticket sales. He'd already got 25% share of net revenue.
Mm-hmm.
But he wanted 50 million baht. And 7, the final one, which is the end of the contract with Saha Mongkol. Right, so basically, the head of Saha Mongkol, who I can't remember his name right now, basically took the... It's Xie Jiang. Took the 7 things, ripped them up and said, fuck off. So then Tony supposedly was out and he had a group of blokes following him in khaki outfits, him and his lawyer around the place, in safari suits they were dressed in, following him around. And so he dropped into the police station to say, like, people are following me. So then the police chief was actually friends with Xie Jiang, the head of the film company, and called him in and... Like Stu said, he kind of mediated, or moderated,
mm-hmm.
Probably the word. He was there for the discussion between Xie Jiang and Tony Jaa, which ended with them shaking hands and Tony agreeing to come back on the film, but with none of his 7 demands, which is just mental. And then, so following that, Tony was shown up because it was, I think it was Mother's Day in Thailand or something like that recently. And so he went back to his family home to, you know, do all the nice things for his ma and stuff and take flowers and that kind of thing and pray for his ancestors. And so then he was quoted when he was there as saying, let me have a message to my fans who care about me. I'd like to tell them that I now have full encouragement to do my work from my true heart. I've got no more problem. All of my family members understand what I was into. Thank you so much, my fans. Which is a little bit vague. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's just a translation or, you know. But it's just been an absolutely bizarre series of events.
Yeah. From the outside, it kind of felt... Well, it was, you thought he'd been doing this for a while, because occasionally I thought, oh, he must be finished it by now. And then out comes all these stories where I think he's been in the jungle for like a fortnight meditating, and it just seems like it's something that they kind of kept quiet. It was only until Tony was actually missing that it came out in the papers. It wasn't like 2 days later, it was like it'd already been a fortnight at least. It's sort of one of these things where they're like, okay, don't panic. But of course, it kind of spiraled out of control into this just big tabloid frenzy.
Well, the thing is, the film company have a lot of international pre-sales, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
With different people around the world. I know the UK rights have already been sold, and the American rights were supposed to have gone to the Weinsteins. And so... It's not within their interest to let everyone know that the production's going tits up.
Yeah.
So that's obviously why they kept it all hush-hush. But it just runs like a crazy soap opera.
Mm-hmm.
And seems to all stem from the fact that Tony really bit off more than he can chew.
Yeah. He wasn't ready to handle all, like, taking the pressures of directing and basically starting doing this, that, and the next thing. It kind of... Mm-hmm.
What? Is he doing the action as well, directing the action?
Well, what I believe, anyway, is that it's him and Panna, the action choreographers, and obviously Tony starring and directing. Now, I don't doubt, to be honest, his ability to make the film. I don't think that's an actual problem. It seems to be the conflict with the studio and the arguments over money and possibly him not having some very good advisors.
Right.
You know, has all contributed to him just not being able to take the pressure of all the business kind of stuff that goes with making a film. This is the kind of shit that could really ruin his career.
Mm-hmm. Because I can't see him rushing to do his next film after On Back 2 finishes. I could see him taking the break for a little while.
Indeed.
Because obviously he'll have to deal with the tours and that, like, where being released in the different countries. But I think once it's over and done with, I think he's just going to lay low for a while.
Well, the thing is, though, if you people say, oh, well, Tony's back, he'll make the film, it'll make loads of money, you know, he'll do all right in the end. Or I've even read some people say, oh, maybe he should look to go to America, where, you know, people might take care of all that kind of stuff for him, and he'd just get on with just making the film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe a more professional film industry, maybe. But then Todd Brown from Twitch, I think, made some really good points in one of his posts about the fact that it's not just about making the film and making money. One, the film is really hugely over budget already and behind schedule. The international pre-sales that have been made from companies have been revoked, and Sir Harmon Cole have had to send money back to the people who bought them because it's gone so over, you know, it's been so delayed, and people don't know when it's going to be finished. Which means that Simon Cole are paying all the production out of their own money. So they're going to be huge debt for this film, so it better be a big success.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you know, a director who disappears, an action star who fucks off for a couple of months or even a couple of weeks or whatever, during the middle of filming, is not the kind of person people are going to trust with large amounts of money to make films in the future. And just from Tony's point of view, it doesn't... The events and the pictures and some of the videos are seen does not indicate a man who
is in a healthy state of mind.
Exactly. If he can, does he even really want to make films anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Does he want to put up with all the kind of the shit that can go with being a filmmaker? Because there was some words coming out from his lawyer, an advisor, whatever, saying that if he doesn't get released from his contract with Sir Harmon Cole, then he'll just quit and go and live, become a monk. They're actually talking about, seriously talking about him becoming a monk. Just quitting the film business and disappearing to be a Buddhist monk. So I'm worried because I think Tony's got huge... I mean, he's already made one of my favourite action films ever, but I think he's got a huge amount of potential to grow as a filmmaker, as an actor, mm-hmm. and as a action star. So I'm really disappointed because I was hoping for a good few years of some seriously good, fun martial arts films.
Yeah.
But I'm really worried that this could be a bit of a nail in his career coffin.
Initially was... is a detail that he himself pushed for taking directing reins of the film, or was this perhaps somewhat imposed on him, or why didn't that other guy Panna direct this?
I don't know, to be honest. I'd read, I think it was maybe just a bit of speculation with people on forums that, true it is, that he might have been pushed into directing it, because obviously he's a massive star. So if he's attached as, like, you know, director, that'll just help sales. I seem to remember, slightly off topic, but well, not off topic, but slightly off point, Jimmy Wangyu being listed as director on some films, which he didn't actually direct, because Jimmy Wangyu was the name, and therefore that's what would sell to international film buyers and stuff. And so he got credit on some films, or even as co-director, when he didn't really do anything. I think it might... Is he credited as the director of The Sword?
No.
I'm sure there's an old school film that came up recently, maybe from Fusion or Crash or somebody like that, where he's credited as the director when...
No, not that one.
Right. As far as I know. I can't remember which one it was, but where he didn't actually direct it, but he got credit. But anyway, I don't know if maybe Tony was kind of pushed because his name on the director, as the director and everything, would sell it everywhere mm-hmm. or not. Or if he... Maybe he was just a bit naive, you know, riding on good times and being told that, you know, oh yeah, there's plenty of money for you, Tony. And he's just gone out wanting to make the absolute best film he can.
Yeah.
And just not had a handle on how he should be looking after the money and everything. And just, has, you know, he's totally focused on the art and not the business.
Has anyone seen the actual, like, promo footage that has been released?
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched it a few times.
And what's it like?
Mm-hmm. It looks pretty cool. It definitely looks like a step up from all what he's done so far. Like, from all the footage about sort of the tribes, and for the looks of the person being a child being sacrificed, who obviously turns out to be Tony Jaa. Like, from the looks of it, he must get taught these different styles from a group of masters that saved him. It does look, like, production-wise, like sets and costumes, that it looks a step up for what he's done so far. Because it looks to be more of a period film.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the promo trailer?
No, I haven't.
It looks quite nicely directed, to be honest. It looks pretty classy from what, you know, a few of the early shots and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Some nice shots in there. And the kind of idea is that, like Stu said, he's saved by these masters, and they're all masters in different arts. So there's a samurai in there. And there's some kung fu guys and all this kind of stuff. And
yeah.
Muay Thai. And he learns from all of them so that he can whip out, like, loads of different styles. So there's an awesome bit where it says, it's naming each thing. And he pulls
yeah.
it up and it says, right fist Muay Thai. And he does, like, his Thai stance. And then it says, turning to, is it something like left hand tiger?
Yeah.
And he just switches to the kung fu tiger stance. And it's like, oh yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to see. Tony busting the kung fu, because apparently, I didn't know this until I read it recently. He studied kung fu before he did Muay Thai, because he was a big fan of Jackie Chan and Bruce Lee and stuff. He trained in kung fu quite a bit until he met Panna, and then Panna suggested he should get in on the his own country's traditional fighting, and that's where he really started to get big into Muay Thai.
Mm-hmm.
Gives me a bit of a boner.
That was some way to finish it.
Well, in the way that Ken gets all, you know, excited about crazy ass bad films.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get a boner from that, though.
Quite the opposite.
Depending on the film, of course.
we're talking about a metaphorical boner, a mental boner. yeah, that's the way I kind of get when I'm watching, especially Tony Jaa, an awesome Tony Jaa trailer like that, where I'm just watching it thinking, oh yeah, this is going to kick ass. Some serious ass. But yeah, I'm just, like I said, I'm just worried about the future of the man's career. I just really hope he can pull through this and become kind of, come through it stronger.
Yeah.
And not as the Joker says, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stranger. Mm-hmm. Hoping that's not the case for Tony.
That's all a shame to see talent go to waste.
He's still immensely popular, so, and you know, the audiences around the world, most people won't know anything about this, will they?
No.
And if it turns out to be a good film with tons of, you know, hardcore action, all will be forgiven, and it will get bums on seats and DVDs out of the shops.
Yeah.
They'll make plenty of money, and everybody will be happy. But I don't know. It just looks dodgy. I just worry about, it's more about Tony's state of mind, because there's always going to be money out there and opportunities to make films. It's just whether he's really into it, whether his heart's in it, whether he wants all the crap that goes with being an actor and a filmmaker.
And hopefully he's not on contract to do a subsequent production currently.
Well, that's another thing I thought about, actually. If Sahar Harmon Cole don't let him out of his contract, will his heart be in making good films? Will he give everything and try his absolute best to make a great film when he doesn't really want to be working with the people he's working with? I'd worry about that, even if he does carry on. Can he really produce good stuff? That was almost a little bit like my Dragon.
Yeah, we're kind
Bruce
of
Lee story
to
rant.
Have a like a mic rant.
Storytelling, almost enlightenment.
Thank you.
It's not like I think this is shite, and I'm going to tell you why. you're genuinely human here. You're worried as a fan.
One thing is, a little bit like that Dragon one as well, I don't know really anyone. Well, you know, I know a few people, but nobody I really chat to that actually give a shit about Tony Jaa. So in a little bit like watching Dragon and getting all angry and needing to vent.
Yeah, no one to talk to.
Yeah, that was a good moment to vent my Tony Jaa worry. Just hope it made sense.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I only know, I knew it briefly off mic here, Stu. I knew of it briefly, but not the entire scope of it. And I didn't think it was that extensive and that bizarre.
Yeah, I was the same. I just thought he kind of buggered off for a fortnight, then came back, and he was having to sign this agreement to continue work. But
which is bad enough, if it was only like those two or three events, in a way.
But to the state of like being followed by safari hunters, almost.
Why not chuck a couple of hopping vampires in there and make it even more bizarre?
Anthony Wong's got to be involved somewhere. But and he fucked up Category 3 shit, Anthony Wong's in there. It's just that little detail of safari suits that just makes it seem bizarre to me. You know, if they said men in black suits, then that seems sinister, but...
It seems almost creepy, but it's like people dressed as if they're going to a fancy costume party. They think Tony knows where it is.
Yeah, it just seems like comedy to me, just like, you know...
They'll have hunting rifles with them in on. Maybe that's why he was worried.
It's like a Python sketch.
Yeah, exactly. Like all the pythons, were like one too many in a car with camouflage and pith helmets on. Big thick mustaches, just driving and trying to look inconspicuous, but obviously standing out because they're in safari suits in the city. Well, he seemed like a... Not that I know much about George Lazenby, but an actor that was just on the cusp of becoming a really massive star, obviously with the James Bond film, but it just didn't pan out. Because although... Oh, no, Majesty's Secret Service was not a big hit with the public, I don't think. It's wide, you know, well-regarded nowadays amongst a lot of fans.
And it's surely due to him in some way displaying charisma in the role. I haven't seen that particular Bond.
It's a good one. I think it's a little bit darker. And didn't he come after Sean Connery? Directly after Sean Connery finished.
Yeah. But didn't Sean Connery do like a film after that as well? Or
Yeah, well, he quit. And then he came back to do Never Say Never Again.
Right.
Which I'd heard was titled as a reference to Sean Connery.
Right.
The guy was just one paid.
Was that the like early 80s flick? Or what was that film that he was in? So
yeah, I think it was the early 80s one. Oh, was that it? Right. Yeah, I think it was Never Say Never Again. It was one when he came back and he was a bit chubbier, a bit bolder.
So basically after George Lazenby, it was Roger Moore for 10, 15 years.
Yeah, pretty much. I haven't seen Honor Majesty's Secret Service for a while, but I'm not sure if that gets extra praise because it's like a forgotten Bond. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of cool to be going, oh, well, actually, Honor Majesty's Secret Service is the best Bond film. Gets a bit of kind of, in hindsight, coolness, and because it's not a Roger Moore or one of the really popular ones.
Well, if it's a trendy thing to think of it like that, then, you know, that's kind of a lame gesture, I think. I mean, I've still gotten the impression that it's that people sort of rediscovered it, that it is a good film. But I guess if you're a writer too, then I guess it's a choice to be trendy by referencing the movie in that way. The underrated James Bond. If you put that in writing, then you can get some kudos as a reviewer, I guess. But I haven't seen it, so I shouldn't really say anything.
And also, allegedly, George Lazenby is a drunk and a big racist. According to her, allegedly.
According to the internet.
Well, according to his wife, who's filed divorce papers, who is was anyway, Pam Shriver, the tennis player, retired tennis player. I just so happened to see it splashed on a newspaper one day last week. Another useless fact there. Factoid.
An alleged fact that's suitable for a James Bond podcast.
But then going back to the Hong Kong angle, there are four reference. The other movies that George Lazenby did in Hong Kong, as far as I know, were Stoner, which is the title character he plays, along with and he plays against Andy Lamau, and The Man from Hong Kong with Yuma Wang Yu.
Yes. Then there was always the planned Bruce Lee movie that didn't materialize.
Was that just the rumor? Was it just that, or was there like a known plot they were going to do?
I think it was just rumored that they met, and they never went any further. But that's all part of a Bruce Lee podcast waiting to happen.
Our moderator says shame on us, basically. Well, speaking of that, a slight detour. What happened with your band list, Banner?
Well, I haven't bought anything for ages. I've got some free DVDs sent to me. So, you know, that doesn't count.
But you still have a pile?
Oh, yeah, it's an insane pile.
Do you think you want to do a band segment tonight?
It'll take me too long. I'm just working through Shaw Brothers at the moment, and I've got about 10 Shaw Brothers films. Actually, no, because I got another 6 the other day. I'm probably up to about 15 or 16 Shaw Brothers films to watch. Mm-hmm. And then I've got about 100, literally, 100 maybe more of other films that I haven't watched yet.
Damn.
I think I have more.
I have 4. Well, no, 3 now.
It'll take me 2 or 3 years, I think. But I have stopped buying. Only buy when really necessary. Really, really necessary.
Well, I mean, some of the films have been, you know, through trades or a kind of where I wanted one film and then I've just ended up trading for a few because somebody else has wanted them. And I've got films that I'll watch, but I'm not like, ooh, I've got to see that. And then I had some review copies sent to me and things like that where it's just piles up on you.